Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Welcome to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert, CPA, CFP professional, and AEP. On the web at www.yourfinancialchoices.com. Listen online at www.wdiy.org. So what is different for tonight's show? Tonight, you will notice Lori is off for tonight. And myself, Jackie Cornelius, and Rod Young, my co-host, we will be together co-hosting the show and hopefully doing Lori proud. Rod, why don't you go ahead and take a couple minutes to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Jackie. My name is Rod Young, and I am a CPA and certified financial planner at Valley National, as is Lori. And I've been a guest of Lori's a number of times over the years and a guest host a number of times over the years. And you and I have had the pleasure of doing the show together. A few times over the years. So it's great. It's kind of great to be back.
Yes. Thanks, Rod. And like Rod, I also work at Valley National and am a certified financial planner, an enrolled agent, and also have been a guest and have co-host with Rod. So welcome to this show this evening. We're glad you could join us. Let's start today with today is October 20th, 2021. The markets were mixed today, with the Dow closing at 35,609.34. It was up 152.03 points. The NASDAQ was down at 15,121.68, down about 7.41 points. And the S&P 500 was up at 4,536.19, up about 16.56 points. And year to date, in 2021, the Dow is up 17.82%, the NASDAQ is up 19.08%, and the S&P 500 is up 22.58%. And before we get started, I do need to take 5 seconds here to give a shout out to my children, Leah, Lucas, and Ariel, who very much encourage their mother. So, hi, kids.
And who would be very upset with you if you didn't give them a shout out.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Absolutely. So let's get right into it. Our topic tonight, I think, is one that many clients consider, many people in general consider, and it is retiring early. And what is all involved when you start thinking about retiring early? What does retiring early even mean? So tonight we're going to focus on that. We are live tonight. However, we are not taking calls given the membership drive that WDIY is having, which we're very excited to be here and be a part of. But just wanted to let our listeners know that we're not taking live calls. But please feel free if throughout the presentation, if you would like to email a question, albeit we can't take it live, we can someone from our office can get back to you, and you can email questions to www.yourfinancialchoices.com. So let's talk a little bit now about what retiring early means. Well, retiring early can mean various things. I mean, first you start to think about ages. A lot of people associate normal retirement with 65, and we'll get into why that is. But Rod, why don't you talk about maybe what's one of the, some of the starting ages that some people start to think about what it means to retire early?
Sure. And as we were putting this show together, I couldn't help actually but think of myself, and Jackie's actually laughing at me right now, because I just had a milestone birthday back at the end of August. And so I don't know if I've missed that window of definition of retiring early or not. I'm not quite at Social Security or Medicare age yet, so maybe maybe I still meet that definition. But no plans on retiring, folks. So anyway, so yeah, what are some of the ages that we talk about when we think about retiring early? And one of the first ages that comes to my mind is age 55. The main reason for that is there's many pension plans out there for you. For those of you who have a pension plan, fewer and fewer of us have those. But age 55 for many pension plans is defined as an age where you meet early retirement and could start to collect a pension right away out of the pension plan. There's actually even a little there's some parts of the Internal Revenue Code that allow you access to retirement plan money, you know, beginning as early as age 55 without being penalized. So that's one of the first ages that comes to my mind. And then kind of the next age after age 55 would be age 59 and a half. And, you know, many of you may be aware, but you might not be, that generally speaking, all of that money you've been saving in IRAs or 401ks and have rolled over to IRAs, generally speaking, there are some exceptions, but trying to get at that money to use it for retirement prior to age 59 and a half can result in tax penalties. So that's kind of a critical age as well. We'll address that whole penalty issue, a little bit later in the show. What are some other ages that come to your mind, Jackie?
Sure. As I briefly mentioned earlier, when we first got on the air, was age 65. So a lot of clients will think 65 is kind of quote unquote a normal retirement age because that's when they have the option to enroll in Medicare. Social Security, the Social Security Administration, defines normal retirement based on your date of birth, and that varies. But is basically now for most people age 67 is considered full retirement, and that's for anybody born in 1960 or later. In addition, maximum Social Security benefits are earned at age 70. So, you know, those are other ages that we kind of think of as, you know, whether you call milestones or, you know, ages that you can retire at. And lastly, now, thanks to, I would say, recent tax legislation, but required minimum distributions from traditional IRAs need to start at age 72. So there are various ages that we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about.
And that's something you don't have a choice with. When you said need to start at age 72, it used to be that 70 and a half rule, and now it's age 72.
So like most things in personal finance, the decision as far as when to retire, especially if it's early, is different for just about everybody, given their facts and circumstances. So tonight we're going to lay out for you various things to think about as you're starting to think about retiring. And one of the first things we're going to jump into is knowing what your expenses are. And so people might say, well, I know what my expenses are. I do a budget and I know what they are. Well, that can vary from what they are today to what they are in retirement. So we encourage clients to start a list. If you don't have a list, if you don't know what your budget is, start with what you spend now. And you can start on a monthly basis, on an annual basis. How do you do that? You look at what you spend. So do you spend on a credit card? Do you spend on a debit card? Do you, you know, write checks out, you know, study your bank account?
Yeah, one of the most prepared clients I've ever worked with and retired, in the not too distant past, created an Excel spreadsheet, tracked all of his spending pre-retirement, and then looked at every single expense line item and thought through into retirement what would change. His plan has worked. He is happily retired, but he took the time to, he and his wife, they took the time to really focus on the spend part, and they are now very happily retired. It was a very good, time-worthy exercise that they went through.
Yeah. Right after our break, we will get back to talking about expenses in a little bit more detail.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Help support WDIY's fall membership drive by donating securely at WDIY.org or call 610-758-8810. Your donation, membership, or pledge goes to supporting the live, local public affairs such as Your Financial Choices, Teen Connect, and the eclectic music selections here at WDIY with many choices and real voices. And speaking of real voices, our guest hosts tonight, Jackie and Rob, on Your Financial Choices.
Welcome to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. I'm here with Rod Young. My name is Jackie Cornelius, and we have the privilege of guest hosting on behalf of Lori, who's off tonight. So welcome. We are talking about retiring early, and we left off before the break about getting into knowing your expenses. So, you know, Rod had, you know, communicated that when he had one client who successfully, you know, listed out all their kind of pre-retirement expenses and then went so far as to list out post-retirement expenses. We think that's a great idea, you know, and be detailed. You know, your utilities, your real estate taxes, life insurance. If you know when things are going to end, you know, I mean, the big one for a lot of people is your mortgage. You know, I don't think there's anybody who doesn't get excited about when their last mortgage payment is going to happen. So listing things like that and then kind of having what we call more as like your discretionary expenses. So possibly travel or eating out are other things that we know. One thing we find interesting is there's not a set rule of thumb when people actually retire. We have clients ask all the time, do expenses go up? Do expenses go down? Do they stay the same? Rod, why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, kind of what you see?
Sure. And it's all, maybe we say this too often, but it's all so dependent on the individual, you know, circumstances. And I mean, Jackie, you and I have been doing retirement planning for people for a long time. And the expense side of it is often the most difficult area of planning for individuals to, you know, to get a handle on. You know, they're busy day to day, you know, working, you know, taking care of the kids, what have you. And it's hard to find that time to really track what you're spending and create a budget and all that. So it is definitely a challenge for people. One of the things that we make sure when we sit down with people to talk about retirement planning is making sure that they are planning for those, for certain expenses that may not be on their radar screen, particularly if you are retiring early. And so by early, I'm going to define that as a given that it's before you're eligible for Medicare. So what are you going to do? How much is health insurance going to cost? And for how many years are you going to have to bear that cost until you are eligible for Medicare? And then once you are eligible for Medicare, you might be surprised at how much Medicare actually costs. And it actually depends on how much income you report on your tax return from two earlier years, believe it, or, you know, second preceding years. So so health expenses is one of those things that is that we put front and center to people and make sure they're properly planning for.
Yeah, just to give our listeners a little bit of a, you know, magnitude, this might come as a little bit of a sticker shock for some of you who have some company subsidized, you know, medical insurance programs. But we have clients where their medical insurance, you know, can run north of $35,000 a year. So it is not a small budget item for some people. And then, you know, to Rod's point, when you start to add in, you know, Medicare, you know, surtax premiums, it's a pretty large line item.
Yeah, just to give you an idea, per person, Medicare Part B can range in cost from $149 a month at the lowest income levels to $505 a month. And that's, again, per person. So if two of you are on Medicare, you could be paying, you know, $1,000 a month, you know, just for Medicare. Now, that's at upper income levels, but it's so Medicare Part B is not inexpensive.
So going back to kind of what your client did, Rod, where they kind of listed out their pre-retirement expenses and then post-retirement. We actually got an advanced question from one of our valued listeners, and they asked about what about working part-time? If you have, you know, a high-end stressful job, you know, a high earner, is there kind of an avenue for, you know, what I'll call semi-retirement? Absolutely. And while, you know, kind of your instant online, you know, retirement calculators don't typically account for that. You know, a lot of financial advisors do have the ability to build in that type of modeling. In that sense, we would almost kind of advise you almost have a third column, right? You'll have your true pre-retirement, let's say age 55. And then you might say, well, you know what, I'm going to work, you know, at a low stress job from 55 to 65. And so it's for many reasons, right? Why? One, it's less stress. Okay. You actually might find something you truly, you know, get excited to go do every day. And it might cover things like health insurance. You know, we just threw out a very large number of 35,000. Well, if you could find a part-time employer that covers, you know, health insurance or partly covers health insurance, that helps maybe transition you into retirement. So just wanted to add that as a, you know, possible kind of additional solution when you're thinking of early retirement. It's not an all or nothing. There definitely can be a hybrid.
Yeah. And we have, again, we have many conversations with people about that, about, you know, stopping what they're doing, the higher income, higher stress job. And it is one of the, probably the difficult thing there is thinking through, okay, what will the person do once they retire from the current job and how much will they really, you know, make, and trying to make appropriate assumptions in that area of planning. That's probably the trickiest thing to do there. And also understanding how does that affect like Social Security benefits. If you want to collect Social Security benefits before your full retirement age, which, like you said, Jackie, for most people is age 67. Mm-hmm. If you earn too much money prior to full retirement age, it affects your ability to collect Social Security benefits. So that needs to be factored into the equation as well.
Absolutely. So not to drive home the medical insurance, but folks, we're honestly, it is the largest expense that we see. You know, other things you want to know and understand are, you know, your COBRA coverage. So what does that look like? For those of you who are fortunate enough to get some type of retiree medical coverage, in Rod, in my experience, we do see that, you know, we see that less and less, that employers are offering some type of retiree health insurance coverage. Sometimes in the public sectors, they might get a little bit of that, but even we see that going away. Also understanding what the private insurance exchanges offer. Again, if your spouse is employed, understanding how that impacts. That's a big one that we get a lot of questions on is the spousal, you know, and, you know, you might say I'm done and I need to retire tomorrow. But how does that impact if you're the one carrying the medical insurance for your spouse or your family? How does that impact, you know, the rest of them, and what are their options then? So just understanding all of those, and, you know, you have to be a little bit of a detective, but figure it out, understand, seek a professional's help if you're unsure. And, you know, that helps you kind of narrow down what you can do. And, you know, knowledge is power. We always say that. I know Lori, you know, speaks a lot about that. So understanding what you have to work with will help make the decisions.
Yeah. And a whole other area, I don't want to, you know, spend the whole show talking about just the medical part of it, but even getting into one of the hardest things to plan for in retirement planning is potential, like, long-term care costs. You know, if you need to bring someone into your home to assist you, or you need to go into an assisted living or, you know, skilled nursing facility, you know, there certainly are insurance. There's insurance out there you can buy. You should probably start looking at that in your mid to late 50s. It's not, you know, it carries a cost, so you need to evaluate it in the context of your, you know, of your entire situation.
Absolutely, folks. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back to talk more about retiring early with you.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Help support WDIY's fall membership drive by visiting WDIY.org and donating securely or 610-758-8810. Your donation, membership, or extra gift goes to supporting live local public affairs such as Your Financial Choices, Teen Connect, plus the eclectic music selection here on WDIY with many choices, Real Voices. And we welcome the Real Voices of Rod and Jackie back with Your Financial Choices.
Welcome back to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. It's my pleasure to be guest hosting with Rod Young tonight, and we are talking about retiring early. So we just got done discussing identifying your expenses, both what they are now and then what you think they will be in retirement. And as Rod said, it is the most crucial starting point, is really identifying that. And I think one thing that's important to point out is this is, you know, everybody loves the word fluid, right? But this is, it is a fluid situation. So you might be 50 and thinking you want to retire at 60. Starting now, that doesn't mean that you wait. That mean it's still a good thing to start now, and you can always tweak the budget. We notice that as clients' budgets increase, I can hear my grandmother's voice saying, as you make more, you spend more. Which is not necessarily untrue, but as you do spend more, sometimes that creates additional flexibility. You know, if you have X dollars budgeted for vacations and, you know, all of a sudden, let's say, you know, you go into retirement and the market has a down year, you have flexibility there. So as the budgets increase, it can provide additional flexibility. So really honing in on what you're spending is important. The next step we think is important is, now that you know your budget, identifying your sources of income during retirement. You have worked very hard all these years to create these buckets of money, and we're now going to go over in a little bit of detail what those buckets can be and how to think about them. And as Rod, you know, touched on briefly earlier, what does it mean if you are going to access your IRA before you are 59 and a half? Rod, why don't you talk a little bit about what that looks like?
Sure, I can talk about that, you know, and one thing I would say before I get into that is, so the single greatest wealth creation tool in this country is automatic payroll deduction. And start young. The compounding power of saving in a retirement account for a long, long time, and maybe having some employer matching contributions in it for a long, long time, and you may be able to retire early. And that's why that's why we talk about this part of your income plan first, because most people, the majority of their retirement money is inside, you know, 401ks and IRAs. So 59 and a half is in 403bs. 59 and a half is a critical age, because at or after 59 and a half, you can draw money from your retirement accounts without any tax penalty. Prior to 59 and a half, you actually, for retirement, you can draw money out prior to 59 and a half if you take it over what is considered like a lifetime income plan. So there's some mathematical calculations you do. You look at the value of your account, and there's a couple different ways to do the calculations, and you can start actually drawing prior to 59 and a half. You have to continue those drawing for a specified number of years. I believe there's a five-year rule there, and otherwise they will look at you and say, okay, this wasn't eligible for, for avoiding the 10% penalty.
That's a great point. And Rod, let's just be very precise. When you talk about these rules, we are talking about pre-tax IRAs, pre-tax contributions to 401ks, or pre-tax contributions to 403bs and 401ks. It is different, correct, for Roth IRAs and for monies that clients set aside in their 401ks on a Roth basis.
Yeah, there are different sets of rules for Roth IRAs and Roth 401ks. There's still some handcuffs there prior to 59 and a half. We don't have to get into all the nitty-gritty details. We could do a whole show on Roth IRAs and what have you, but that is, Roth is after-tax money. money going in, money you actually put into a Roth IRA, the contributions over the years you can actually take out at any time for any reason without any tax consequences. The potential negative tax consequences would apply to taking out the growth inside the Roth prior to age 59 and a half.
That's a great point. I know another question we get quite frequently too is, are the rules different for my old 401k? We see a lot of clients, they'll be employed for a certain number of years, they'll have a 401k, and they'll leave that employer and start a new job. And for whatever reason, they might have chosen to leave that prior employer 401k intact. Keep in mind, folks, that every plan has special rules. So prior employer 401ks carry their own set of rules as well.
Sure. And there is one little nuance with a 401k. If you retire, at age 55 and have money in a 401k, you can actually draw on that money without that 10% tax penalty, unlike the IRA, which is the age 59 and a half rule. So now if you take that 401k and roll it over to an IRA, now you're subject to the 59 and a half rule, not the age 55 rule. So a nuance there that many people are not aware of. I've even seen professionals that miss that nuance.
So as you can hear from Rod, there are fairly complex rules when it comes to starting to decipher and design what will ultimately be your retirement plan. So again, we always kind of advise, or suggest, I should say, starting to gather your facts. One thing we say is start to make a list of all your assets. If you have, a prior employer 401k or 403b, make a list of those. It's not surprising people lose track of them. It's not, we're not 25 years ago or 30 years ago where people stayed employed at one employer for their entire careers. We see clients change careers quite often, and it is easy to lose track of it. No one ever wants to lose money. We never have a client come in and say, oh, I'm fine if I misplace, a $10,000 old 401k. Every dollar counts, right? Especially when we're talking about retiring early. So, Rod, why don't you talk a little bit more about employer pensions?
Sure. And, we're seeing fewer people with pension plans out there. We see more of them in the public sector than we do in the private sector today. But pension plan, typically it's known as a defined benefit plan, where you work a certain number of years, you have a final average salary, and based on your years of service and final average salary, you get a specified amount for the rest of, for the rest of your life. Typically paid as a monthly annuity, for the rest of your life. And then if you're married, they will offer you various what are known as joint and survivor annuity payments, that will pay over your lifetime and your, beneficiary's lifetime, your spouse's or significant other's, lifetime. Many pension plans like this also offer a lump sum option. Some do, some don't. And so that is something where you could actually take a lump sum of your pension and roll it over to an IRA account and continue to have tax-deferred growth on it. One of the biggest decisions you'll ever make is how to take a pension. If there's ever a time to sit down with a financial professional to evaluate a financial decision, that's, the pension decision is absolutely one of those times.
Sure. And just for our listeners, I know another question that we had gotten ahead of time was, what is the rule of 80? That is regarding a defined benefit pension plan. And that means once the employee's age and years of service total 80, the employee is eligible to retire. So it's not a set age, but it is a combination thereof. So it was a great question. We're going to take a short break and be back to talk to you more about what it means to retire early.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Help support WDIY's fall membership drive by donating securely at WDIY.org or call 610-758-8810. Your donation, membership, or extra gift goes to supporting live local public affairs such as Your Financial Choices, Teen Connect, plus the eclectic music selection you enjoy here on WDIY with many choices, real voices. And we welcome the real voices of Jackie and Rod back for Your Financial Choices.
Thank you. Rod Young here with Jackie Cornelius talking about retiring early. And thank you for listening tonight, everyone. Hopefully you're tuned in and in enjoying the discussion. So just before this last break, we were talking about pensions. And so two other things I would add in about pension plans. And, you know, I like the idea of a lifetime annuity because it's simple, self-completing. You can't outlive it. You can create an automatic survivor benefit for your beneficiary. And so it's not a bad thing. It's a great thing, actually. The idea of taking the lump sum, you can crunch the numbers on it, and it may, you know, particularly the last few years with interest rates being as low as they are, the lump sum value of a pension is higher the lower the interest rates are. So lump sums have been very enticing the past few years, and we've had many clients who have taken them, but you are now taking responsibility for that money. And so it's a different equation. It may make all the sense in the world financially. Make sure it fits your personal situation.
That is a great point. And as Rod just alluded to, when you are looking at pension decisions, that is something we would suggest seeking out professional, because the options are complicated and lifelong lasting.
Yeah.
As is the choice of when to take Social Security. That's probably one of the top five questions we get.
Every week we talk to somebody about Social Security. Every single week.
Yes. And is it going to be there? How much am I going to get? Is it going to be taxed? So as I'm sure most of our listeners know, you have the ability, let's say it like that, to start Social Security at the age of 62. Go ahead.
There's just a little aside. We had a video, a Zoom call, this meeting this morning, or Microsoft Teams, one of those. And there was a whole bunch of people on the call, ages from, 30 to some of us more seasoned folks at 60. And the question was asked by the person leading the call, how many of you believe that Social Security will be there for you? And everybody probably age 45 and older raised their hand, and everybody under age 45 was not quite putting their hand up. So, and I do remember those days when I was 30, when I was 30 years old and thinking, so Social Security is not going to be part of my retirement plan. And now I'm like, boy, I hope Social Security is part of my retirement plan.
Sure. You paying for all those years, and it's not a small amount.
Absolutely. And I firmly believe Social Security's, here to stay. Mm-hmm. They may tweak how they tax it or some other things. But it is, we're talking about it because of how important a leg it is in the retirement income stool.
That's right. And one of the most important things is to understand, just because you have the option to take it at age 62, again, being educated, understanding what that actually does to your, what we could call your normal retirement benefit, or as we stated earlier, typically now age 67, it's shocking how much of a haircut you end up taking on your quote unquote normal retirement age benefit, your age 67. I don't want to say 30%, mm-hmm. but it is hefty. So again, when we're talking about knowing your sources of income that you're going to have and trying to decide retiring early, just make sure that again is something you plan for and think through. We have clients that'll write down what their age is at 62, what it is at 67, what it is at 70. And again, understanding how it affects your spouse. Rod said about pension planning decisions, Social Security ranks right up there with them. Understanding what options you have, and again, so you can make an informed decision as it affects your retirement, or hopefully for those wanting to retire early.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, and we this is another one of those areas where we could literally do an entire show talking just about Social Security decisions. From your full retirement age of 60, for most people, like you said, Jackie, 67, until age 70, that benefit, if you don't start it at 67, is growing by 8% a year. And so you've got this government bond that's going to start paying to you, and it's growing by 8% a year. I think of that as a pretty safe investment. If you can structure your retirement plan as such, why wouldn't you wait until age 70? There's calculations you can do on crossover points and all that sort of thing.
Sure. And that leads directly into another source of income, which we would refer to as a brokerage account. This naming convention carries lots of different naming conventions, everything from brokerage account, after-tax account, pot where I stick extra money. So it's basically, once you've kind of maxed out your your company retirement plan, typically pensions aren't something you're putting money into. The next kind of bucket, so to speak, is either an IRA, and once you've taken care of that, is then your what we call your after-tax account or your brokerage. And the reason it dovetails right with Social Security is, to the extent that you have this, you know, dollars in a brokerage account, sometimes, again, for your specific financial situation, it makes sense for you to be drawing on what we call your after-tax dollars prior to taking Social Security. As Rod indicated, you know, that 8% kind of government guaranteed rate of return every year is, you know, attractive for some clients. And so, you know, we encourage those who have the ability to save on an after-tax basis, again, after you're, you know, setting dollars aside in your 401ks and 403bs, to look at setting aside dollars in a brokerage account. Again, it just adds to the ability to have options when you're trying to decide on what sources of income you want.
There's a you know, we call it tax diversification. And so having some after-tax money that you can draw on that doesn't create additional tax liability and can bridge you to starting Social Security later and bridge you to when you mentioned that had to take money starting at 72 from, you know, your pre-tax 403b, 401k, IRA money.
Sure. And just to give our listeners a little bit of framework, Rod and I are big fans of, you know, Roth 401k dollars and Roth IRA money. You know, a dollar of Roth money goes farther than a dollar of non-retirement or brokerage account money. You know, following that, a dollar of brokerage account money or non-retirement account money goes further than a dollar of retirement account or pre-tax account money. And lastly, a dollar of your 401k dollars goes further than your earned income.
Right. Right, because of different tax treatment for each of these pieces. Your earned income is subject to Social Security tax, Medicare tax, local earned income tax, in Pennsylvania, you know, state income tax. Unlike pre-tax IRA money and what have you, that isn't subject, you know, at least in Pennsylvania, it's not subject to state income tax. There's no local earned income tax on it. There's no Medicare or Social Security tax. So those dollars in your retirement plan do go a little farther.
Absolutely. And another advantage that a brokerage account gives you is typically, you know, we refer to these as after-tax accounts because you're taking your earned income that's been taxed and you're setting it aside. They have favorable long-term capital gains tax rates, which are much more favorable than when you're taking dollars out of a 401k or IRA, which comes out as taxed as ordinary income. In fact, a married filing joint couple with income under $80,000, and now this is a little bit dated, but in 2020 would pay a 0% tax rate on long-term capital gains. So to understand the magnitude of, you know, having $80,000 of long-term capital gains, compared to $80,000 of earned income, you know, the tax rate on $80,000 of earned income is not zero.
Right. And a very common scenario that we see is, you know, so someone retires early, does have this after-tax bucket that you've been talking about, this brokerage account money that they use to live on for a few years before they start Social Security and start those required distributions. And during that time period, they may have substantial assets, but they don't have substantial income that they're reporting on their tax return. And so during this window of however many years it is, we look at things like, should we convert some money, pre-tax money, from an IRA to a Roth IRA and pay little or no income tax on that conversion? And because when you do have to start drawing on that pre-tax money combined with Social Security, you're going to be paying, I don't know what your bracket will be, but you could be in a 22, 24, 25% tax bracket versus maybe getting some of that out at 0 to 12% and into a Roth IRA that you will never pay tax on the growth again, nor will your kids.
It's a beautiful thing. And the IRS does not give you, or I should say our tax legislation does not give you many beautiful things, but the dollars coming out of the Roth are a beautiful thing when you say zero tax on earnings.
Yep.
So ideally, having all three types of accounts, really, having, a Roth account, whether it be an IRA or 401k, but having Roth dollars, having pre-tax dollars, again, via an IRA or a 401k, and then having, an after-tax brokerage account, really at the end, that just provides you the greatest amount of flexibility. I'm sure we've got listeners of all age ranges out there. It's never too late, to start planning. And we always say that, the greatest time to start planning is now. It gives you the most amount of lead time and the most amount of time to, make the best decisions for your financial future.
Yeah, we really like to think of it as a five-legged retirement income stool. Pensions, if you have it. If not, it's a four-legged stool, okay?
Still stable.
Still stable, though. It's not tipping over. Social Security. Pre-tax money, Roth money, and after-tax brokerage account money. That's the retirement income stool.
That's right. Absolutely. And that's a great, great summary. And who doesn't want, at least a four-legged stool, right?
Yeah.
Three is a little wobbly sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's just a great thing when you have the time to look at it. And, we do encourage clients, people say, well, how often should I look at this stuff? We would say at least annually. Some people do it monthly. Some people do it quarterly. But we would recommend, looking at your expenses, looking at your income sources, at least on an annual basis, just to kind of check in. For those of you who actually have a financial plan, checking in, see how you're doing against your plan annually is ideal, to seeing if you're ahead or if you're behind. Those are kind of things that you can do as you're starting to determine what retiring early is.
The spending part can be kind of scary when Amazon's showing up at your door every day, I just got to say. And I think you, Jackie, were telling me that you can actually get a report from Amazon of everything you've spent and they categorize it for you. I don't want to see that report.
Yes, my spouse actually had that sent to my email inbox and said, when you get that, let's talk.
Got it.
Yes, yes, yes. Amazon is great because they now will detail everything you spend your money on. Oh, yes. Good old Amazon. Just when you, as clients, start to think this through and our listeners are starting to think it through, just know that there's a lot of options. There's online retirement calculators, for those of you who are, earlier in this process, just to kind of get a handle on things. There's a lot of tools out there. There's expense budget worksheets, a lot of good information out there. As you start to get closer, the end of your first runway, we always like to say, the end of your accumulation runway, that's the time to seek out a professional. Whether you seek out ongoing professional help or just a one-time, really it's just time to, we always like to say, do a check-in. Know where you are, and that'll help you, know where you want to go. The whole goal is to think about retiring early. You can always, be ready, right? We love to be, quote unquote, on fire, financially independent and able to retire early. And you could always stay and continue to work. But sure. It is a great place to be when you know you are financially independent and have the ability to, retire. We're going to take a short break and be back with you soon.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Support WDIY's Fall Membership Drive by donating securely at WDIY.org or 610-758-8810, where your donation, membership, or extra gift goes to supporting live local public affairs programs such as Your Financial Choices, Teen Connect, plus all the eclectic music selection here on WDIY with many choices and real voices. And we welcome back to the microphones, Rod and Jackie, Real Voices with Your Financial Choices.
Yes, good evening. This is Jackie Cornelius and Rod Young, and we have the pleasure of co-hosting and filling in for Lori Siebert, who is the normal host of Your Financial Choices. And we're here tonight with you live talking about what it means to retire early and what things you should think through. So far, we have covered doing your budget and doing your expense sheets and starting to get a handle on what you currently spend and what you think you're going to be spending in retirement, and thinking through all those wonderful thoughts of either traveling more, spending time with grandkids, spending money on grandchildren, spending money on the pets, all those good things, gardening, whatever your hobbies are. Then we talked about identifying your income sources. So not only knowing where the income sources are going to come from, but also start to, as you get closer, start to identify how much they are. You know, one thing we didn't really talk about was possibly inheritance. We know Congress right now is very concerned about how much money is going to pass, you know, through one generation to another. You know, kind of with early proposals on estate tax reform. So that is another form, albeit many clients don't, quote unquote, count that as, you know, kind of guaranteed income. But that's, you know, for a lot of clients, that's not a small amount that they potentially might inherit as well.
Sure. Yeah. And I agree. Most people say I'm expecting an inheritance. Most of them say I don't know how much, you know, it might be, but I don't want to incorporate it in, you know, into my planning.
Sure. It's more like found money. So, Rod, why don't you walk through for clients who are, you know, kind of taking this all in and thinking it through, and, you know, maybe they're not working with a financial professional, or they haven't, you know, gone online to find an online financial calculator. If you were thinking at a high level, just how to start framing your mind, you know, especially for non-financial people, how do you start framing in your mind how to think about this kind of at a high level?
Sure. Very, very simplified high level. Let's just say, for example, that your monthly expenses are, you know, including taxes, you're spending $8,000 a month. Okay, that's mm-hmm. I don't think that's an unrealistic, spend for somebody, today. Mm-hmm. So in retirement, let's say you know that your Social Security, and maybe you have a small pension from a job you had a long time ago. And by the way, that's an interesting topic because people forget about their pensions from past employers. And so if you worked somewhere, for 5 years early in your career, chances are you may have an old vested pension benefit to try to track down. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation. So let's say between Social Security and a pension, you have $4,000 a month of income. So now you've got a monthly gap of $4,000 that you have to try to cover. Well, that's $48,000 a year. So you need to have saved sufficient funds to provide, you know, $48,000 a year. If you very simply assume that you can draw on that at a 4% withdrawal rate. And there's a lot of financial planning articles out there that talk about a safe withdrawal rate in retirement. 4% gets mentioned a lot. 3% gets mentioned a lot. You and I, again, have been doing this a long time, and we talk to people about how we like that 3-4% range, under 5 at least anyway. We mm-hmm. start to get concerned if the draw rate is
again, too,
this above 5% particularly.
And it also varies, too. The earlier you retire, the longer the bucket has to last.
Yep, very good point. So If you need to cover $48,000 a year and you're going to draw on your portfolio at a 4% rate, the math on that is you need $1.2 million set aside to cover that $48,000 a year, mm-hmm. that without dipping into the principal.
Sure. And for a lot of clients, you know, the thought of $8,000 might seem high, especially once your mortgage is paid off. Mm-hmm. But in reality, the $8,000 includes taxes. And as we're seeing right
even
gifts to children, grandchildren, you know, paying for birthdays, you name it, and anything. But I think also the variable there is taxes. We don't know, we're in a historically low tax environment right now. So also kind of planning and projecting, you know, the potential or, you know, the possibility, I should say, of retiring in a higher tax bracket. That's a variable, you know, especially if you're, let's say, you know, if you're 45, 50, and you want to go at 55 or 65, we don't know where tax rates are going to be or what they're going to tax in, you know, 10, 15 years.
And don't forget, this show is about retiring early, so don't forget about all those health insurance and related medical expenses you've got to cover until you reach age 65. So I know it's $1.2 million seems like a big number to cover $48,000 a year, but it simple back of the envelope, it is a real number.
Absolutely. So now that we have a high-level example, we do suggest, though, for clients that are, you know, definitely, I would say, within 5 years of retirement, that they, you know, kind of at this point, dot the I's and cross the T's, to Rod's point, especially if you're going to retire early because of the additional variables that come into play when retiring early. You know, currently a man who is age 65 in the U.S., they can expect to live, and this is on average, 18 more years.
So that means half of them are going to live longer than that.
That's right. Yeah. And life expectancies have been steadily increasing. I believe the statistic was since 1960. And a woman who is currently age 65 in the U.S. can expect to live another almost 21 years. And it doesn't drop much. You know, I have clients that'll say, oh, well, you know, if I make it to 70, great. No, actually, if you make it to 70, for a man living in the United States now who's age 70, their remaining life expectancy is 15. And for a woman who's currently age 70, her remaining life expectancy is 18. So again, you know, just
so
make
5 years went by and their life expectancy only dropped by 3 years.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yep.
So the, you know, the planning for longevity also is a variable that goes back to a lot of the kind of the quote safe, which, you know, withdrawal rates of 4% that we see. Even things like when your required minimum distribution start at age 72, the amount that the IRS makes you pull out of your pre-tax IRA and pre-tax 401ks, all those things need to be accounted for. And how do you do that? You do that with an actual plan, a retirement plan or a retirement analysis. Again, there's a lot of different names, but putting it in writing and putting it down and modeling it out and seeing the varying sources of income and the tax impact over, you know, kind of the course of retirement is very valuable.
Sure. And there's, you know what, there's all kinds of great retirement calculators out there, and go on, you know, I'm not plugging anybody's retirement calculator, but go on Fidelity's website or Vanguard's website or, you know, Charles Schwab's website, wherever. And there's great calculators. But at some point, you take what is an online calculation with a decent calculator, and you really should sit down and go through the detailed exercise that you just talked about, Jackie.
Sure. Many of you who have employer 401k or 403b plans, I know more and more of the providers of those plans actually even have retirement modeling within those plans. I've actually seen some of the outputs of those. I've had clients that have come in and printed them off and said, what do you think? And it's always, well, it depends.
Can you do better than this?
Yeah. That's the, That's very true.
Right.
We do get that question. But it was interesting. You know, my spouse and I, we used one that is available through his company. And it was interesting. You know, to say the least. So, you know, that's kind of our final point, I think, is to when you get there, when you have arrived, right, at retirement and whatever retirement age that is, and hopefully it's early for our listeners who are wanting to retire early, the game is not over. I know a lot of you would like to think it is, but now you need this money to last a very long time. So now it's kind of like, it's almost even more important to seek a professional, because now you are no longer in your earning years. You now are in what we call your distribution years. So at this point, you know, it just becomes extremely important that you are paying attention and watching. You know, Rod talked about withdrawal rates. Is your withdrawal rate reasonable? How are your accounts performing? Again, where do you stand according to the plan that you have? Are you drawing too much out? Are there reasons you're drawing too much out? You know, or do you have increased medical expenses? So all those things come into play. And we seem to find clients tend to like to, I always say, pull the conservative switch. And meaning, you know, you might have a certain asset allocation, you might have your investments allocated a certain way, and all of a sudden it's like, I'm retired, I can put it in the bank and I'm good.
Yeah, I can't take any risk anymore because I'm retired.
Mm-hmm. That may work for some clients. For others, it might be a devastational choice.
Yeah, and so, Jackie, this is probably one of the most important parts of the discussion, and we're not here to give investment advice. But think about it. Again, this show is about retiring early. So let's just say retiring early is age 55. Okay. So you started working when you were 20, 25 years old. So you've now worked 30 or 35 years. If you're planning all of the financial retirement planning that Jackie and I do, we're targeting age 95 for your plan. So even if you're planning to 90, You're only halfway home. You've still got, you know, 30,
long runway.
30, 35 years left. So you have to invest like you have 30 or 35 years left. And I think that is a top mistake that retirees can make, is not understanding that most of their portfolio still has a very, very long runway. And coming up with working with your financial advisor and coming up with an appropriate asset allocation strategy that meets your risk tolerance but recognizes that you still have a very long timeline.
Absolutely. And even designing kind of certain categories to cover what we call, you know, we talked about expenses early on in the show, and you know, there's those fixed expenses, as we like to call them, you know, your medical insurance premiums, your real estate taxes, your homeowner's insurance. Those are never going to go away. So you need to, you know, make sure that that's covered. You know, then we phrase things more of discretionary expenses. That's, you know, travel, maybe eating out 5 days a week. No, just kidding. For some people.
Yeah. Yeah, someone's pointing at themselves, but we won't name names.
No, but that working with a professional can help, you know, help you structure that, and, you know, where you're providing some type of, you know, solid investment plan that's, you know, potentially lower risk. And again, that's why working with a professional, you know, kind of once those accumulation years are over, and even if you're, partially retired, like our listener had asked early on, you know, even semi-retirement, it's important to be looking and paying attention to how your assets are invested. And just the best thing you can do is just make sure you understand and that you're educated. As Lori would always say, you know, education is the foundation, because it helps you, you know, be more knowledgeable and make better decisions.
Yeah, the best clients to work with are those who have done some self-education, mm-hmm. Without a doubt. And folks, if you can't tell, I mean, Jackie and I talk about this stuff all the time, and here we are sitting here, it's, you know, almost 7 o'clock at night, and we're talking about it with a high level of enthusiasm. We love this stuff, because this, what we are talking about right now, the planning piece of it, is the most fun part of it.
Mm-hmm. It's what Rod and I, you know, get up and run to work for every day.
Every day. Yep. And we really feel that we add value as you are doing your planning. And
I think we should end with your quote, though.
Uh-oh. My quote
I've coined this many a times, but
yeah. So how am I going to be ready to retire early? My quote is, save as much as you can for as long as you can. Thanks for listening to us tonight. Lori will be back next week.